Support for On Point with Tom Ashbrook and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage's completely online process lets you get a custom mortgage solution wherever and whenever you want. Check out Rocket Mortgage at quickenloans.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Johann Sebastian Bach's cello suites are among the most moving works of classical music ever written. They go to the heart and soul. You've heard them at moments of national tragedy, profundity, all over the movies, behind everything from Master and Commander to Hangover 2. Now, classical guitar great Elliot Fiske has brought Bach's cello suites to his guitar. It's a great migration. This hour, On Point, classical guitarist Elliot Fiske and the cello suites of Bach. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. What does this music inspire, move in you? With me now in the studio, world-renowned classical guitarist Elliot Fiske. One of the great Andre Segovia's last students. Segovia called him an artist at the top line of our artistic world. He teaches at Mozarteum University in Salzburg, at the New England Conservatory. He's founder and artistic director of Boston Guitar Fest, an international festival now in its 11th year. He's taken on the feat of transcribing all six Bach cello suites for classical guitar and is here to share that work. Elliot Fiske, welcome back to On Point. Thank you. It is such a pure delight to have you here.
Thank you so much. Great honor to be here, of course.
You have your guitar in your lap, and we have Bach's cello suites always in our ears. Remind us of just what a big deal these cello suites are. You're bringing them over to guitar. Why are these so beloved?
Well, it's very interesting because if you compare them to the famous six sonatas and partitas for violin, there are even fewer notes.
Oh, Bach. Mm-hmm.
Also Bach, right, mm-hmm. For solo violin. There are even fewer notes in these. But something about them speaks perhaps even more directly to all of us. And it's an eternal enigma, a conundrum as to what they actually mean. But whatever that is, it seems to be true. You know, in the news these days, we've heard a lot about fake news. Well, this is the exact opposite. This is true. Whatever it is, it's something incredibly profound and true about the human condition.
I want to be sure that people hear, because they will know at least some of what we're talking about with the cello suites. You've got the prelude to Suite 1 here in G major. And this is played by Pablo Casals. There's a big story with that in itself. Mm-hmm. But here he is playing the prelude to Suite number 1, recorded these Bach suites in the late 1930s. Bach's cello suites, prelude to Suite number 1. Here's Pablo Casals. Pablo Casals with Bach's cello suites, working in his way in there in the late 1930s, and they just stay with us. They're all over. They're all over popular culture. I mean, this I've got a piece here from a little bit from 2003 film adaptation of Patrick O'Brien's Master and Commander, and you remember with Russell Crowe, Captain Jack Aubrey's crew arriving here at the Galapagos Islands for the first time, underlay with a performance of the prelude to J.S. Bach's cello suite number 1 in G major, performed in that soundtrack by Yo-Yo Ma.
So we've raced the Galapagos.
I'm coming.
Elliot Fiske sits with me in the studio, ready to go there with his guitar. But what is it about that spare line that just keeps us coming back and back and back?
Well, it's really interesting because, of course, Bach was capable of writing huge works with everything under the sun in them. But in this, he really distilled everything down just to a few basic notes, really, in this prelude, The cello is only ever playing till the end, really one note at a time, but the illusion is of a much bigger canvas and a much bigger event going on. And that was, of course, Bach's genius, that he was able to do that.
How does he do that? Polyphony, that this sort of a lot going on at one time.
Let's just address that a bit. One of the things that's very interesting about the cello suites is that there are sort of two basic manuscripts that people use to try to decipher what Bach wanted, because there's no note of any of the cello suites that's come down to us in Bach's own hand.
With all the annotation and advice on how to play it.
Well, it's really just, it's what's interesting about the manuscripts is that you see, even in the shape of Bach's beautiful hand racing across the page, you see all kinds of things that would suggest how you might play it. But in the case of the cello suites, we have sort of two main manuscripts, one by Anna Magdalena Bach, who was the second wife, and another one by a student named Kellner. And those are sort of the two basic manuscripts. But what we do have, and this is what's intriguing for a guitar player, we do have Bach's own autograph of the fifth cello suite, which he arranged for the lute, a very interesting instrument that in its heyday in the Baroque epic had 13 courses of gut strings.
Wow.
And so the satirical writer Matheson said, if a lutenist lives to be 80, he will spend 60 years tuning the lute and fixing broken strings. But Bach's one of the people who got interested in this instrument.
Means you're not the first one by any means to take this to a stringed instrument other than the cello.
Right. Well, Bach, in fact, was a great transcriber of his own stuff and of everybody else's stuff that he could get his hands on. He was a very practical musician. I think it's one of the ways that maybe Baroque music and jazz music relate.
I want to talk about the great project of taking these six suites from cello to classical guitar, but let us hear maybe what's the most famous of all these. This is, again, the Prelude to Suite 1. We heard it from Public Assaults. We heard it from Master and Commander. Now the great Elliot Fisk is with me in the studio, classical guitar in hand, and here's his transcription, his version of Prelude to Suite number 1. Elliot Fisk with me in the studio. What is it about that? He did it. They wrote it for a bow being drawn across string. You played on your guitar. There's something in that prelude that just goes to the way life, the continuity of life somehow speaks. So it goes on and on, even when we may feel despair, we may feel enough, but yet something just goes forward there.
Well, it's very interesting. You know, he in the first few measures, he really does nothing but 1-4-5-1. So you could have that, and you could just do... But of course, he does something interesting with it, and he activates these three voices. Mm-hmm. So you could do... But of course, he does more... It's already sublime.
Yes. There's a kind of joy there, but it's a calm joy.
Yeah, well, he had this wonderful bedrock belief, I think. And, you know, he started off life not really in the easiest of circumstances. He was an orphan by the age of 10. We hear all about the famous 20 children, but if you look at the history, you see that something like half of them died, you know, very young. Mm-hmm. Only a few of them survived. He went off on a trip and wife number one died while he was away. He didn't even know about it. He came back home. He crossed the threshold of his front door and he was told, "Your wife has died."
And yet he found this sublime.
He could always somehow find a way out. And he had this endless genius. So.
We're going to dig on into how Eliot Fisk took the great cello suites of Bach and has brought them to classical guitar, his classical guitar. We'll close out this portion with the suite number one again, with the sixth movement. This is the jig behind us here. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point. We're talking this hour with classical guitar great Eliot Fisk about his great labor of love transcribing Bach's beloved cello suites for classical guitar. He's done it, he's here, he's playing. You can join us this hour. Can you picture Johann Sebastian Bach 300 years ago in Germany dreaming this music? And what would he think of it on guitar in our time, 2016? Cellists, what do you hear in Eliot Fisk's rendering of what Bach wrote for you, and what is the magic in these suites? It's the prelude to Suite 2, Eliot Fisk, recorded this in our studios yesterday behind us here, and is right in front of me with his guitar as we speak this morning. Callers for you, Eliot. I want to come to how you did this, but Mark is calling from Dayton, Ohio. Mark, thanks very much for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Very well. What do you hear? What do you know, Mark?
Good. It's great to hear this because I'm a guitarist myself, but my son, who's 5 years old, loves it, the cello and the violin. And one song in particular, one that has influenced him, has been Prelude to Suite Number One. So when I heard Eliot Fisk playing, I was really excited, and my son wanted to say hi to him as well. Say hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
We're just excited to hear a rendition on the guitar of a song that we've loved for, I mean, since he was...
Mark, what is your son's name, Mark? What is your son's name?
His name is Amani.
Amani. Wonderful. Amani, Eliot, yes. Say hi to Amani.
Hello. Thank you for calling in. Keep up the good work.
Yes, keep at it, Amani. Keep playing. We hear it. We hear it all right there. Mark, thanks for your call from Dayton. Eliot, take us back to these suites and how they were all but lost until a very young, just a few years older than Amani there, I think a 13-year-old Pablo Casals finds them in Barcelona in 1890. Who was he? How did he find them? How much obscurity did he bring them out of?
Well, I gather that they were really had fallen into neglect. And Casals was, as a young man, I guess, rummaging around in a music store, and he found this dog-eared old copy and was absolutely ecstatic to take it home and start experimenting with it, and I guess the rest is history.
So of course, the great cellist performed it around the turn of the last century, and people said, my God, what is this? How wonderful. And it's just grown and grown in popularity since
right.
then. How long have you been in the thrall of these suites? How long have you been working on this project of bringing them to your classical guitar?
Well, it's an interesting question. I guess I became aware of them through a transcription that Andrés Segovia had made of the third suite, which I grew up with. You know, at that time was a big, heavy old 33 RPM you know, record. And I grew up with that sound in my ear, and then came to know them as I
Segovia, your teacher.
My teacher, Segovia, right, the great Segovia. And then I went to various, you know, music camps and music schools and started to hear people playing them on these pieces on the cello. And so then I was aware of them, you know, all my life. And this was sort of a project that I worked on off and on for many, many years. And always something else would come up and get in the way, and I wouldn't be able to finish it. But recently, you know, I decided, well, it's better get to it before it's too late. And I was fortunate to be able to play all six of them in a couple of concerts at the National Gallery just a short time ago in D.C., and that was a great experience for me.
The Washington Post writes about that exhilaratingly virtuosic playing from my guest, Elliot Fisk. What is involved? Talk to the lay people among us, myself included, who can't imagine sort of looking at the music, these sheets of music for cello, and then reimagining them for guitar. How do you bring them from cello to your classical guitar?
Well, we do have Bach's example of what he did in the fifth cello suite, where he filled out harmonies, he added lines, he added ornaments. Basically, we would say he jazzed it up. He also changed the key. He transposed it a fifth. That was a typical thing that he did, changing the key to make it more suitable to the lute, which was the instrument he was transcribing it for. So I just tried to, you know, copy that practice as best I could. I have a certain amount of experience with Baroque music, and so I thought, well, I'll give it a shot.
You can't just pluck it note by note, because on the cello the notes are long.
Well, you could. You would... Nothing wrong with
okay.
that.
Okay.
So all I did in that case was add one chord, but there I added a bit of a bass line, hopefully subtly and in a way that is consistent with the Baroque performance practice. So the cello one. So that's me, you know, making my life difficult.
We love
playing two lines where I could probably get away with playing just one.
We love it when you do. Let's hear some more back-to-back. This is just great. You mentioned suite number three. Let's listen to a little bit of the Allemande from suite number three in C major. This is a recording on cello of cellist Mstislav Rostropovich.
Yes.
1995.
Great Rostropovich.
Yes. It takes on this the Allemande here. Different from the Allemande style in the first two suites, is more of a kind of bouncy, lively,
right.
more than that patient progression of the others. Let's listen to this from Bach to us via Rostropovich on the cello. Wonderful. Now, as you listen to that and you've done this and thought, okay, how do I dive into that? What do you try and make sure you hang on to? What can you not lose from Bach's cello presentation?
Well, of course, anytime you hear the great Rostropovich, it's always an education. I mean, he was great not just as a cellist. He had a lot of courage. And, you know, when Solzhenitsyn was being chased by the Soviets, he wrote that letter to Pravda and said, Solzhenitsyn is welcome in my house and all. Mm-hmm. So he's a great hero in many ways. But as a musician, just a you know, phenomenal genius. And we would try to you know, sort of translate in the same way that some of the most famous books in world history are known to us in translation. I mean, the Bible is known to us in translation. Mm-hmm. Not too many of us read it in Hebrew or Greek or Latin.
Aramaic.
or even in this, even the 1612 King James is now often, you know, revised. into modern English. So I think it's a fascinating question as far when you get into translation, transcription, all this, you get into the essence of the meaning. And probably these pieces are so universal that there are many good solutions. And the trick is to try and find at least one good solution. And that's what I aim for.
But not to lose that essence, not
right.
to lose what's
right.
at the heart of it. Richard in New York, Miller Place, New York. You're on the air with Elliot Fisk. Thank you for calling, Richard.
You're welcome, and hello to both of you. I just wanted to say I find these works incredibly calming. They seem to have a zen effect. As a writer, they get me into a zone. They're always playing when I'm writing my books, but they also work when I have to do tedious details, like paperwork, which I despise, and they just calm me down, and I'm able to do what I'm normally not able to do. And one other thing that your guest said that intrigued me, he mentioned the word jazz. And to me, they've always seemed like the suites could have been written a day or two ago, as well as hundreds of years ago, because they have such a contemporary sound as well as an old sound.
Yeah, 300 years or yesterday. How do they accomplish that, Elliot, that calming sense that Richard speaks of there, and we all feel it? I mean, here's Patty writing to us online, you know, despite the news, Bach indicates God is good and the world is in order. How did you pull that off and still have the freshness of jazz?
Well, I think the Baroque style was one that involved a lot of improvisation anyway. They had something they called basso continuo, which means continuous bass, but basically it's a chord chart. And the great Baroque players were all capable of improvising off of that bass line and doing marvelous things, and Bach is famous for having done that, of course. So there it was basically a great musical style that worked so well for 150 years, really. It's just a wonderful style, and Bach, of course, the greatest genius of it.
We heard Rostropovich playing this Allemande from the third suite number 3, C major. You have it for your guitar. You've brought it to your guitar. Would you play it for us?
Here it is. So again, I transposed a fifth just like Bach. So.
Elliot Fisk live in the studio with me. There with the Aleman from Suite 3 of Bach's Cello Suites. And people, Jacob's writing to us on Facebook. This is inspiring my own practice session of Bach on guitar this morning. Thanks, Tom and Elliot. Of course, Eric Sibelin wrote a whole book on Bach's Cello Suites. He calls them, by turns, courtly, meditative, rhapsodic, exotic, rocking, and incredibly earthy. Matthew's calling from West Roxbury, Massachusetts. Matthew, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. I love the Cello Suites, and I wrote a poem about it. I won't read the whole thing because it's too long. I'll just read the first two stanzas.
Sure.
It's called Eating Whole Foods Chicken Sausages While Listening to Bach's Cello Suite Number 5.
Okay.
Chicken sausages from Whole Foods. Expensive, but you're reasonably sure what you're eating besides chicken. Sea salt and vinegar, black and red pepper, tarula yeast, and powdered honey. I grill them with sweet potatoes, broccoli, and portobellos. Eat them with ketchup. The Cello Suites came as a 2-CD box set. Bach, the 6 Cello Suites, and a portrait of Yo-Yo Ma in performance on the cover. You get joy, suffering, contemplation, and longing, resignation, and release. The rest of the poem sort of goes on to say how I met Yo-Yo Ma and how he drove off in an Audi, and I was surprised that anyone capable of making such beauty could be interested in cars. But anyway, that's...
I love it. Matthew's poem, it is called Eating Whole Foods Chicken Sausages While Listening to Bach. Elliot Fisk, I guess there's nothing we can't do with this music.
Right, right.
Everybody's writing about how calming this is. Though those are pretty lively. This Aleman has got that bounce in it.
Yeah, it has that wonderful sequence to it, somewhat similar to what he did later in the Gloria of the big minor mass. Mm-hmm. So he was working a lot of times with ideas that could be contracted down to one line on the cello or expanded to a huge orchestral texture as well. So that's what's fascinating about these pieces. Their complete malleability and adaptability.
We go out of this segment with Elliot Fisk playing on his guitar the Courant from Bach's Suite Number 3, a Baroque dance suite, typically follows the Aleman. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Support for On Point with Tom Ashbrook and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage brings home financing into the 21st century with a completely online process that's fast, easy, and convenient. Using a phone or tablet, you can safely share bank statements and pay stubs without having to dig through piles of paperwork. It takes just a few minutes to get a custom mortgage solution on your terms, wherever and whenever you want. Check out Rocket Mortgage at quickenloans.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Number 3030.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. The great classical guitarist Elliot Fisk is with us today. He's taken Bach's cello suites, his 6 cello suites, and brought them all over to his guitar, transcribed them for classical guitar. You can hear the sound behind us right here, the Gigue from suite number 4, recorded yesterday in our studio. Elliot Fisk is live with me right now and ready to play, and we've got a lot to hear. What is it about these Bach cello suites that makes them eternally so moving to our human ears? Elliot, lots of people writing online and saying, Jinx says this is just what I need to hear in this season. And lots of others, thank you for a bright moment in a darkening time. There's something reassuring in these. What is that, Elliot?
Well, I think Bach, perhaps we know him as a great musician, but one of the fascinating things about him, if you really start analyzing all of his music, of course, he set the Christ story so many times, and I think this was a perpetual obsession with him. And I think for him, we can go...
Is it here, even in these?
Well,
are these sacred or secular?
We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. There's one piece in particular that really relates to it.
Mm-hmm.
But, we are... we can go into wonderful museums and we can walk through Renaissance art, you know, 90% of which is crucifixion or nativity, right? And we can kind of see the sort of stylized picture of Christ on the cross. But I think for Bach, this was a really essential moral issue that, you know, a very, very good man, to put it in really stark contemporary terms and not pretend to be a religious specialist, which I'm not, but whatever your attitude might be towards religion, for sure, Jesus was a very, very great man who was unjustly, you know, tried, tortured, publicly humiliated, betrayed by his closest disciple three times, as he predicted, you know, and ended up utterly alone on the cross and with you know, with nails stuck through his feet and his hands and a cross of, and a crown of thorns. So for Bach, this was I think, not some abstract picture, but something that really happened. And I think he identified in his own, perhaps less dramatic, but surely vexing struggles against dumb bureaucrats, I think, and difficult situations. I think he identified with this tremendous miscarriage of justice. And he writes at one point in the St. John Passion, there's a beautiful aria that's actually has a lute part, one of the few times he actually used the lute. And the text is, Ach, mein Seel. You know, my soul, you know. And later, at a certain point, he says, Du kannst viel süße Frucht von seiner Wermut brechen. You can break a lot of sweet fruit from his, basically from his sufferings. And so this was a perpetual, a picture in front of Bach's mind. And I think he was also terrifically aware of the finality in the short time that we're here on this earth. And he was somehow in touch with the deepest wellsprings of what it is to be human. And he was able to find nobility in that little part of Germany. I mean, he never really traveled. How did he dream up these majestical things in that part of Germany? If you go there today, I mean, it's nice enough. But, you know, how did this man have these incredible thoughts living in that part of Germany and sort of locked into, you know, very limited social strata and everything else?
You know, Elliot, your performance has brought me that kind of saving grace at some of the toughest, darkest times of life, and I appreciate that. I want to hold off on that sarabande you're talking about there, and maybe hear a little from Suite 4, the cello, the prelude here. This is an E flat major, and this again is Pablo Casals. One of the most difficult suites to play on cello, recorded in the late 1930s from Bach. There's Casals on the cello. He found and brought back and popularized Bach's cello suites. Classical guitar great Elliot Fisk has brought them to his guitar, and you've got this one, of course, you've got all of them. Elliot, talk to us and play from this Suite 4.
Perhaps I can see the time is running out, I'm not going to play exactly the whole thing, but I'll play enough that it will show what's very interesting about this prelude to a guitar player or a lute player. On the cello, this is not the most idiomatic figuration, you know. But on a lute or on a guitar, you basically have an arpeggiated chord.
Thank you.
on and on. And it's
incredible fingering there, my gosh.
Yeah, it's got this tremendous drive to it. And he goes into these bizarre harmonies and this wild sort of toccata-like figuration from this very serene opening. It seemed like nothing like that could ever come out of it.
Just you wait.
It's coming. and it explodes.
It's amazing. People listening all over the world. And Josh is listening in Oklahoma. Great show. Love this. Lisa says, listening in Tervuren, Belgium. Love On Point. Thanks for the great work. Thank you. Elliot Fisk. Becky is calling from Cleveland, Ohio. Becky, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. This sort of follows up on the phrase bizarre harmonies, which I just heard. It's sort of a comment, not really a question. Mm-hmm. Bach is my favorite composer, and I think it's because when I listen to him, I find the paths that his music takes to be so unexpected, but once he takes me there, they just seem so perfect and inevitable, whereas a composer like Mozart, who's so popular, seems predictable by comparison. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's why Bach moves me to tears so many times.
Elliot's nodding here as you speak. You relate to
I'm a Bach nut, of course, we must remember that Mozart, towards the end of his life particularly, rediscovered Bach. There's a charming story of Mozart ending up in Leipzig, and the Thomas choir did a version of a Bach choral piece, and all of a sudden they said Mozart sat up and his eyes lit up and he said, "Oh my gosh, who is this? You know, that's finally somebody I can really learn something from." And Mozart's latest works, particularly the fugue from the last symphony, of course, the triple fugue, great triple mm-hmm. fugue, shows the debt to Bach and to Handel, who he had discovered in his later years.
On the first anniversary of the attack on the World Trade Center, cellist Yo-Yo Ma played the Sarabande from Suite 5 in C minor as names of the dead were read at the World Trade Center. The Bach cello suites have that kind of weight. Elliot Fisk will play us that on his guitar in just a moment. We've got just a little bit of Yo-Yo Ma. This is not the World Trade Center, but it's the same piece he played there, the Sarabande, Suite 5.
Gordon M. Ahmad Jr. Edelmiro Abad.
Okay, it was at the World Trade Center, this bit. And you can hear the names as they were read, and this is the piece that was chosen. You were talking about it earlier, Elliot. Yeah. I hope you'll play it for us, but the power of this.
Well, this is very interesting. This particular Sarabande is fascinating because Bach did kind of a paraphrase of it in the B minor mass. Mm-hmm. That's about what he does in the, mm-hmm. Well, that's one line out of the big mm-hmm. B minor mass. Mm-hmm. Well, now if we wanted to understand this very unusual Sarabande, first of all, it has the fewest notes of any piece Bach wrote, practically, especially the cello original, has practically nothing. The lute suite version has a few more notes, but very, very few. The text at the point where this tune comes in the B minor mass, is et incarnatus est, and was made flesh. So Christ was made flesh. We might think of that at the moment of his, you know, coming into the world, but also his moment of leaving the world.
The humanness of that.
He's become human. And what does this mean? He's the most utterly alone, the most utterly vulnerable. He even has a crisis of faith. He says, "Father, Father, why have you left me? Why have you abandoned me?
Forsaken me?"
Even Jesus, you know, is so human at that point that he's abandoned. So this is my, you know, 21st century reading into it. But I think maybe that's why this Sarabande is so naked. You've got Christ on the cross there. Just a loincloth, a crown of thorns, nails in his feet, nails in his hands, abandoned by everybody.
Play.
Thank you.
So beautiful. So beautiful. Sarabande from Suite 5 of Bach's Cello Suites. Elliot Fisk playing there. That quiet pathos and still that sense of peace. This is music for a time of crisis in some way.
Definitely, yeah.
Maybe for now. What a gift, Elliot. Thank you very much. Are you going to record this? People are going to want to hear this.
I'm looking around for the best place to try to do it.
All that work, that beauty. I hope you do.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, as always, for being here. Thank you for many things, Elliot.
Thank you
for being with us today.
Thank you, Tom. Honored to be here.
Elliot Fisk, world-renowned classical guitarist. He's brought Bach's cello suites to his beautiful classical guitar. You can catch a big chunk of this on Facebook Live, and I hope you do. Here's Elliot Fisk with the Gieg from Bach's Cello Suite number 6. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.